Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome to Adventure in History. My name is Carly Quila. Your hosts are Alana and Mac.
Way to go. What a professional.
Good evening. Yes, we brought in the A-team.
You've turned her into a broadcast professional, though.
I know. She's pretty good at it, and she likes it.
Is that a potential career for you?
I don't know.
I think I quizzed you once before about what you wanted to do when you grew up. And it did not involve being on the radio or on TV.
Nope. What are you thinking now? I think I know what you want to do.
Gymnastics.
She wants to do gymnastics when she grows up. She's doing it now, no matter what.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
So we've had a ice.
The museum is closed for 4 or 5 days.
Oh, that's kind of a record.
It is. And worse, over a long weekend.
Yeah.
The weather probably stopped a whole bunch of people from visiting Clatsop County, but you never know.
Right. If they would have been here.
And we'll never know. Yeah. In nice weather, it would have been a really busy weekend.
Right. So, but it wasn't. What do you think, Carly? No snow. We didn't have snow out in Hammond. We had what?
Ice.
Lots and lots of ice.
Ice.
So, I mean, they went sledding still every single day. And we kind of took turns as which adult was going to be the one standing outside. But, yeah.
See, if you're going to have nastiness, I'd rather have snow.
Oh, yes.
Because at least it's pretty.
Yes. And then it melts faster, too, right?
Yes.
It's like a day here in Clatsop County.
The ice, not so much.
Yeah. No, not a big fan. So, speaking of, this is a good word that has to do with what we just lived through. All right. Humbuggery. Yes. Weather we had was humbuggery.
Well, bah humbug, based on that, my guess is going to be that it's bad, unlikable, not something I'm happy with.
Sort of. Any guess, Carly? You know what humbuggery means? If you used it in a sentence?
Snow and ice.
It's a good guess, too. It's nonsense. Nonsense. Huh. This is humbuggery at this point. The weather was humbuggery. I like that. Nonsense.
See, I think it's been too usurped by Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes.
So people would not... That word is not going to come back.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing we would associate it with.
Right.
Is bah humbug.
Which means...
So.
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
A day off from work? Nonsense. A pay and raise? Nonsense.
Yes.
Health benefits for poor, was it Cratchit? Was that his name? Nonsense.
Bah humbug.
Christmas presents? Nonsense.
Yes. Cranky old man.
Cranky old man, indeed. All right, so I don't have many.
I know.
For this day in history.
It's a slow day.
Apparently, nothing really happened on January 22nd. 1901, Queen Victoria dies.
Okay.
I think she was about 180 years old.
Right.
1908. Katie Mulcahy is arrested for lighting a cigarette, violating the one-day-old Sullivan Ordinance banning women from smoking in public.
Go, Katie.
And she's fined $5.
Whoa.
And this is 1908.
Probably a lot.
Yeah. Appearing before the judge, she stated, "I've got as much right to smoke as you have. I never heard of this new law, and I don't want to hear about it. No man shall dictate to me."
I love it. Too bad it's smoking, but... Yeah,
I was going to say, so you're defending. See, I especially, okay, if men can do it, why can't women do it?
Right.
I do have a problem with, I didn't know about the law. Ignorance is not an excuse for breaking the law.
Right, it's not.
Oh, I didn't know I couldn't kill a guy.
But you could still say it, though.
Yes.
It's not a defense, but you can still say it.
Yeah, I'm okay with her saying it,
yeah,
but not as her defense.
Yeah.
2003, Hispanics are officially declared the largest minority group in the U.S.
Right, 2003.
What a bullet. Way to go.
I know.
They're climbing up.
Yeah, that is good.
So I haven't really checked out what the current... ratios are.
I don't know. We were doing good because I know that a lot of it had to do with accurate data collection too, yes. right? So counting, because it's always, it isn't necessarily accurate still, right? It's still a snapshot of mm-hmm. what our numbers look like and demographics look like. So it's a good thing because it does mean that we're reaching more people, getting more information, learning more about the population.
I saw a fascinating exhibit once. It had to be somewhere up near Seattle. I can't remember what museum I was in. But they had a giant wall dealing with these kind of statistics based on all the censuses. And it was interesting because they were using that the definitions have changed over time.
Interesting, right?
You know, at one point it's just Asian, and at other points it's an origin point.
Right. Very detailed.
So all of a sudden the Chinese in America disappear because now they're all Asian.
Oh. Yes.
And then 10 years or 20 years later, they're back again.
Right.
And I'd never really thought about just the changing definitions.
Well, and mess with statistics. Gender demographics, are improving. But then it's also dependent on the government in power, too, right? Because this does come out of the federal government. The federal government.
Using statistics.
Yes. So.
Well, speaking of that, one of the best exhibits I also saw on a tangent topic, but somewhat similar. In St. Louis, the State Historical Society, years ago, they had just digitized and found a way to kind of synthesize a whole bunch of local to Missouri, I think, not just St. Louis, Missouri data from census and from some other records. And you could type in to kind of find out what would you be and what would your lifespan be.
Oh, so interesting.
They had four little stations with the screens above so you could read what people were typing. Oh. But, you know, okay, I'm a 45-year-old white guy that has a college education. And then it would say, like, oh, you would be the local bank president. And because you have enough money, you are eating well and you're getting some medical treatment and your lifespan is going to be through age 72.
Oh, interesting.
And it was really, because then after you do yourself, you immediately do... You know, right. I'm an African-American 14-year-old girl.
Right.
And you just type in different things and just to kind of see. And then they would usually find somebody that was pretty close to that and give you kind of their biography as well.
Oh, that's powerful.
It was pretty amazing.
Right. Okay. So, I like that.
But our history highlight of the day.
Yes.
Because we're still on it.
This one's important.
1972, Roe versus Wade is decided. I think that had a little impact on the country.
It did, yes. And then that was it, right? That's the last time we talked about it.
That's right. Never an issue again. Never a discussion
again. It's so tough for women. And thankfully, we have women like my daughter, who's 8 and a half, that are coming up next. And they're making good decisions. They're doing good things.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Even though I think she's a little daredevil.
She spends a lot of time in museums. Thank you, Mac.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. What do you think about growing up as a woman and a girl in this time? You don't know. She's shaking her.
That's a big
she's
question.
Shrugging her shoulders.
That's right.
I don't know.
That's a big
okay,
question.
You can think about that. We'll get back to you in 20 years.
We were going to have a guest.
We were.
But travel disruptions.
Yes. One of my best friends from college was here. She works in museums. She's a curator. I had given you her wrong title.
She said archivist.
I did. And she says, ooh, archivist would not like that.
Oh, very, very different.
She did archival work.
Okay.
In collections.
Okay.
For the Sixth Street Museum in Dallas, Texas. And that's the book depository, the famous book depository. And she worked there for several years. So she has some pretty cool stories. And she's now at a house museum in Mesquite, Texas now. And she's their curator. So. And she's worked at house museums in Nashville. She took us when we went this last summer to the Hermitage and all those places.
Did she work at the Hermitage or did she just take you to there?
She just took us there.
Oh, see, I thought she worked there.
Nope, but she was friends with the curator.
Okay.
So we knew all the collections there too. And so, yeah.
See, I was excited to share my one story of the sixth floor museum in the book depository. I visited there when I was in town for a conference once, and it's the only time I've ever visited. I didn't know any staff, so I didn't get any kind of behind the scenes, and I was visiting by myself. And this is the problem with my story here, is that I was by myself and there's a long line to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons there's a long line, there's a metal detector,
Sure. Right.
And when I realized there's a metal detector, before I could put my inner filters on.
Oh, no.
And not realizing that I didn't have any friends to whisper it to and snicker, I said it out loud. I said, a little late for that, isn't it?
Oh, Mac.
And all I got were glares from the people lying around me.
Oh, that's awful. It's a very somber museum. That was like my one big takeaway from her after she left. Mm-hmm. Was she too didn't realize how much that impacted her mental health.
Interesting.
Because you are surrounded by information and data and photos and stories that all end terribly, right? Mm-hmm. There aren't any empowering or uplifting stories that come out of that museum. Yet it's so important to gather the information and to do the to document it and to share those stories. But for her to work there for so long, and then she's at a house museum now, which is, we know, we love house museums like the Flavel House. It's much different and much more personal, and it is a nice family story that she gets to share.
I was going to say, it all depends.
Yes,
it could be.
That's true. You're right. But. Yes. Different.
I was also going to ask her.
Yeah.
Lee Harvey Oswald, did he act alone? Or was there a shooter on the grassy knoll? Or right. was there a conspiracy?
She would smile and laugh. She would.
She's not going to offer an opinion?
No, she has an opinion.
Oh, okay.
We'll do a deep tease on that. She's got a, yes, we'll have her back another time and have her talk about that.
So because we had planned on a guest, we didn't really have a program for today.
Right, we didn't.
But we have a glass case on the wall with various things we can talk about. And I smashed that glass an hour or two ago.
Yes.
And what fell out of it. And there's no reason for it. There's no timing. There's no, this is relevant to something that happened locally.
But
on
it's
the
fun.
Same date. It is fun. And the only close tie I can think of is one of our guests in the past few weeks talked about being able to name all the states and the state capitals in like under a minute.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the names of each state and how they got their name.
I love it.
So
let's start with Arizona.
This is our emergency program for the night.
Okay. So in Arizona, state historian Marshall Trimble says Arizona comes from the Basque words Aritz Ona, meaning good oaks. But there are other theories. Some think it's a corruption of Ale Shonak, a Native American village near Nogales, or it comes from the Spanish Arizonac, possibly a local name from the Odom Native Americans that means having a little spring.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think a lot of these are going to be Native American related.
Well, especially Arizona, right?
Yes.
I mean, yes. But Basque, that's an interesting one because
Spanish influence.
Associate, yeah. So wrong side of the country, though, for that Spanish influence.
Well, no, Mexico. I mean,
right, but Spain, Basque is, I mean, right.
I mean, let's face it, they own a good portion of the country at one point.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
All right. Arkansas comes from Arkansas, which is what the French called the Quapaw tribe in the region.
Oh, okay.
The S was added to make it plural, but it is officially silent. The original Quapaw word means south wind.
Now, why would you add the S?
Yeah.
But make it silent?
Yeah, I don't know. So I lived in Arkansas, and I don't remember any real south wind.
Interesting. California is the only state in the union named for a fictional place, the island paradise of California in Las Cergas de Esplanidian, a popular novel written in 1500 by Garcia Ordonez de Montalvo.
Oh, it's a great book.
The island in the book is ruled by a black woman or black women described similar to those who lived in the Amazon. The Baja Peninsula, mistaken for an island, was likely named California by conquistadors based on its apparent similarity to the island in the book.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
Wonder Woman, Amazons.
Yeah.
How exciting. I did not know this. I like it's a fictional place.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I assumed it was a Spanish word of some kind.
Right. And I thought it was named after a woman, California.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Okay. Colorado is simply the Spanish word for ruddy or reddish colored, which is how Spanish explorers first described the Colorado River, Rio Colorado, or Red River, upon initially seeing it.
That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah. Connecticut.
I like Colorado.
Yeah, I like Colorado too. Connecticut. This one sounds a lot like the word it comes from, the Mohican Quintacut, meaning beside or at, the Long Tidal River.
All right.
Okay.
Delaware. The Delaware River, Bay, and Tribes were all named after Thomas West, a.k.a. Lord de la War, the first English colonial governor of Virginia. This moniker, de la War, is likely derived from Delaware, the old French expression for of the war.
Oh, interesting. I would think Delaware would not like that.
Probably not. Oh. But I like Delaware. I have roots in Delaware. My mother came from Delaware.
Okay. Florida. The former Spanish colony was dubbed Florida from the Spanish phrase Pascua Florida, or Flowering Easter, which is what the Spanish call Palm Sunday. The day the peninsula was discovered, Feast of Flowers is another translation. Yeah. There's really? A lot. I think that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of flowers and yeah.
Now, as loyal listeners know, I like picking on Florida.
Yes. And I have lots of opinions since I lived there.
So my brother lives there. Now my mother lives there. So defend Florida and why I should not make fun of it.
Oh, there's no excuse for what Florida does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't live there anymore.
But you enjoyed living there.
I did enjoy living there. Yes.
Now, how can that be?
Well, I was, 18 to 24 at the time. So that helped a little bit.
Is it as hot and miserable as I think it is?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. See? Since Jan and I went to University of Miami together, we were just talking about that, about how one of the things we remember the most about college was being freezing in class because the air conditioning is just blasting. But you have to walk everywhere on campus too, right? So outside, it's tank tops and shorts. I mean, nothing else. And then if you're carrying a sweater, you're just dripping where you're carrying it. And then you go in the classroom, you're sweating, you're wet, and it's freezing for an hour, hour and a half of class.
Wow.
I mean, it just, yeah, it was miserable. But we did, we went to the beach every weekend, all year long. Mm-hmm. I mean, we truly did live. I mean, we liked living in South Florida and took advantage of those things.
Okay. See, that was one of the things I hated about Arkansas. There was actually some things I really loved about Arkansas. I only lived there for about a year and a half right out of college. But the heat killed me. I just couldn't do the hot heat.
It is.
And it was sticky and just,
yes.
Ugh.
And see, going to college is different because then I worked there and working outside in it's much different too, right? I mean, so yeah, it depends.
Okay, Georgia is basically the feminine version of George. And Georgia was named as a colony in honor of King George II of England, using the feminine Latin version of the name George. Comes from the Greek Georgios, or Georgios, meaning husbandman or farmer.
Interesting. Okay. Hawaii, named either for Hawailoa, the ancient Hawaiian legendary hero said to have first discovered the islands, or for a Hawaiki, the mythical homeland of the Polynesians. Hawaii's name is definitely one with legendary origins.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Never been to Hawaii.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Idaho is widely thought to be a fake Native American word coined as a ruse by prospector and lobbyist George M. Willing, who claimed it meant a gem of the mountains. The name was almost used for Colorado before Congress discovered it was a fabrication. I've never heard this. Some scholars, however, think it would come from the Kiowa Apache word Idahe, meaning enemy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
A lobbyist. How funny. Okay. Illinois, named after a confederation of Native Americans known as Illiniwek, which the French called the Illinois. The word means ordinary speaker, also the men, or tribe of superior men, depending on the translation.
I bet, and depending on who's doing the translation.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Indiana is simply Indian plus Anna, the Latin-derived place name suffix. Together, it forms the phrase Land of Indians.
Okay, Carly's been to Indiana. That's one of your favorite states to visit. What do you think about Indiana?
It's like Florida. It's pretty hot.
It's pretty hot.
You must have gone in the summer.
We did. We've only ever been in the summer. So, yes, it's really hot and really, really cold. Okay, so Iowa, I'll do this. Named after the Bahoehe tribe, which the French called the Iowa or Iowa, possibly because of the Dakota word Iowa, meaning sleepy ones.
Wow, you are doing much better pronouncing some of these than I am. I don't have a strong opinion of Iowa. I've been there. It's okay. I like it. All right. I had some friends that worked there. Kansas. Now, I lived in Kansas for about 4 years.
Okay.
Named for the Kansas River, which is named for the Kanza tribe. Like Arkansas, the root word is believed to refer to the wind or the south wind.
Interesting. But not
again,
windy.
Again, well, Wichita, where I lived, was kind of windy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons it's a hotbed for aviation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, big aviation industry there.
Okay. Kentucky. The etymology of this is unclear, but it may be an English word or translation of the Native American word, perhaps the Seneca, Getagay, meaning at the field. Early Native use of the term as a place may also come from a village known to the Shawnee as Eskipakithiki. Another popular theory is that Kentucky comes from the Iroquois word Kentaten, meaning land of tomorrow or dark and bloody ground.
I like land of tomorrow better than dark and bloody ground.
Awful.
Wow. Louisiana, before becoming a state, the colony was named by French explorers in 1682 in honor of Louis the 14th, or as I call him, Louis the XIV.
That was good. That's quick, too, on knowing which one he was. Maine. The origin of Maine is disputed, but there are a few competing popular theories. One is that French explorers dubbed this region Maine after a region in France called Maine, M-A-Y-N-E. Another is that colonist Sir Ferdinando Gorges named it after the village his family came from, known as Maine or Maine. It also may simply mean Maine land, distinguishing it from the numerous nearby islands.
Yeah, that's one of the places I've never been that I'd really like to go.
Right. I haven't been there either. It's far away.
It is far away.
From here.
Maryland, named after Queen Henrietta Maria, wife of King Charles I of England, who signed the charter that established the colony as a religious refuge for Catholics. As such, it is also believed the name is a reference to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ.
That makes sense.
In my maternal line, I have some Maryland people in me as well.
Okay. Massachusetts. This is a plural word, believe it or not, referring to Native Americans who lived near the bay. The word is from the Algonquian Massachusetts, meaning at the large hill, referring to Great Blue Hill in the Blue Hills area of Massachusetts.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Had an uncle that lived there. My brother lived there for a while. Michigan. Lake Michigan actually had the name before the state, and it was perhaps derived from the French spelling of the Algonquin word Meshigame, meaning big lake.
There is big lakes there. Minnesota comes from the Dakota Minnesota, which literally means cloudy water, milky water. The word was originally applied to the Minnesota River. Sky-tinted water is another translation. And that's a river I don't want to swim in.
Mississippi, a big word meaning big river. The name comes from the Algonquin. Wow, they got around.
Mm-hmm.
By way of the French, father of waters is an alternate translation. I like that.
Missouri, a name for a tribe of Siouan-speaking Indians, Native Americans, originally pronounced as Wimisuarita. The word means dugout canoe, a reference to the Minnesota tribe's skill at creating the vessels. People of the Big Canoes is another translation.
All right, Big Canoes. Montana. U.S. Representative James H. Ashley of Ohio proposed the name Montana in 1854 in reference to the presence of the Rocky Mountains in the territory. Ashley chose the name, a Latinized Spanish word meaning mountain or mountainous, from a dictionary.
Interesting. Just from the dictionary.
That's funny.
Nebraska is a Siouan name that means flat water or water flat, a reference to how the Platte River would flood the plains. Good to know.
Nevada, name for the Spanish Nevado, meaning snowy or snow cap by way of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, the name of which simply means snowy mountains.
Oh, I like that. You know, one thing, because I did live in Nevada.
That's right.
And it's Nevada. the Sierra is often made plural. People will say the Sierras or the Sierra Nevadas. It's Sierra Nevada. And so that's one way to really annoy anybody from Nevada is if you add an S to either of those words.
And Sierra is already plural, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
yes. Okay. It's a mountain range. So yes, multiple mountains. New Hampshire, named, as you would imagine, after the Old Hampshire, which is a county in England.
That's an easy one. All right, New Jersey. Loyal listeners know I like picking on New Jersey, too. My wife grew up there. New Jersey, colonialist Sir George de Carteret named the state after his birthplace of Jersey, an island in the English Channel.
New Mexico, you're going to have a word about this. Simply a word-for-word translation of Nuevo Mexico, the name of the territory when it was discovered by Spanish explorers. Contrary to popular belief, the state wasn't explicitly named after Mexico, but instead retained the old Spanish name, just translated literally into English.
I like New Mexico a lot. My parents lived there for 30 years. New York, named in honor of the Duke of York, and Albany, later known as King James II.
North Carolina, like Georgia, Carolina is a feminized version of the male name Charles. In this case, since the Latin form is Carolus, thus Carolinus, or of Charles. French colonists named the region after Charles IV of France, but the English named the colony after King Charles I and II. See also South Carolina.
North Dakota, named for the Native American tribe, the Dakota, the name of which means friendly or allies.
Ohio, named after the Ohio River, which was named after an Iroquoian word meaning good or great river.
Okay. Oklahoma, the territory was named by a Choctaw chief, combining two words into a neologism meaning simply red people or red nation.
Oregon, our favorite here, unknown, but it first appeared as Oregon in a 1765 proposal by an English army officer to King George III as the name of a river later known as the Columbia. There are several theories as to where the name comes from, but it's officially a mystery.
A mystery. I like living in a mystery. Okay. Pennsylvania, literally Penn's Woods, in honor of Admiral William Penn, per a suggestion by King Charles II.
Rhode Island, disputed, but it is still believed to be either named for its resemblance to the Greek island of Rhodes or for a Dutch explorer's name or from the Dutch expression Rhode Island, meaning Red Island, which describes the state's appearance in the autumn.
South Carolina, like Georgia, Carolina is a feminized version of a male name, Charles, in this case, since the Latin form is Carolus, thus Carolinus, or of Charles.
Just like North Carolina. South Dakota's pretty similar, named for the Native American tribe, the Dakota, which mean friendly or allies. Tennessee, the meaning is unknown, but it came from the name of a Cherokee village in the area, Tennessee.
Texas, from the Caddo Indian tribe's Tayasha, meaning friends or allies, adapted by the Spanish into Texa and the plural Texas.
Utah, named after the Utah, Y-U-T-A, the Spanish name for the Uto-Aztecan people native to the area. Utah may have come from an Apache word meaning high.
Vermont, based perhaps erroneously on the French for green mountain, technically, as Douglas Harper notes, the French would be Mont Vert, or Le Pont de Mont Vert.
Virginia, the original colony was named after Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen, in 1587, similar to West Virginia.
Washington, the only state in the Union named after a president. George Washington's family name comes from a town in northeast England. Washington means a state of a man named Wassa in Old English.
West Virginia, the original colony named after Elizabeth I.
And I feel badly, we're out of time, so poor Wisconsin, Wyoming. Our loyal listeners will never know where their name came from. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.